There are several passages in the Bible that especially stand out as passages that challenge us. And I want to consider one this evening that I think sets a challenge before us, just as well as it did to the audience that it was originally presented. And it's back in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. If you look here in this passage, we back up a little bit to get the context. We back up to verses 1 through 13. Joshua told the Israelites what God had told him. And then in verses 14 and 15, he states his conclusion to God's words when he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Tonight I want us to examine this challenge that Joshua set before the Israelites, and especially as we think of the subject of choosing to serve the Lord. There are several things in the challenge that Joshua set before them that I think are worthy of us considering this evening, as we really take that challenge that he applied to them and apply it to our own lives, and especially if we think the idea of choosing. First of all, what we see here is choosing to serve the Lord is, well, first of all, it's a choice. And I think it's important to make this particular point because he began by saying there in verse 15, choose. Now, that means we do have a choice in the matter. Unlike what some people teach in religion, some say that we don't really have any choice, that God's already made up His mind who's going to be saved, who's going to be lost, and either we are among the chosen or we're not. Well, Joshua didn't seem to understand that kind of teaching. He didn't seem to think that's what God intended, because he told the Israelites they did have a choice. It wasn't a matter of some kind of unconditional election or anything like that. It's a matter of what they themselves were going to choose to do. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 29, we see that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. In other words, God makes us, and then He lets us choose. He lets us choose whether we're going to maintain the upright path that He created us to follow, or whether we want to choose to create our own path. But the choice is ours. God doesn't make that choice for us. If you look in Acts chapter 10, Peter's words there, he said, "In every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him." Notice especially the words "fears" and "works." It's up to us to choose what we're going to fear, who we're going to fear. We choose what kind of work we're going to do. That's our choice. Peter realized that it didn't matter what nationality they were, but it's a matter of whether or not they chose to follow God and serve Him and work for Him. That's the choice that we have to make. In fact, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, he said there, "Work out your own salvation." But that's not to say that God doesn't have some part in our salvation. He does, a very major part. We talked about the Lord's part this morning when He chose to come to this earth and give His life as a ransom for our sins. But you know, then it's up to us to take advantage of it. He's paid the price. But we have to choose to accept the price that He's paid for us. That's a choice each of us have to make. And really, the Bible is a book of choices from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The first people we read of in the Bible, Adam and Eve, they had a choice to make. And we follow all the way down to the book of Revelation, Revelation 22. Even there we see choices. Bridegroom says, "Come." That's our choice, whether or not we come or not. It's important for us to realize that serving the Lord is a choice. But something else we learn from this passage, Joshua's challenge to the Israelites, is we learn that choosing to serve the Lord is a personal choice. Notice there in verse 15, he says, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." And he goes on to say, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, but as for me..." What Joshua told them, you as an Israelite, you can make one choice, And I can make another one. You may choose not to follow God. I can choose to follow God. Each of us make that choice for ourselves. It is a personal choice. I may be a part of one of the greatest churches on earth, greatest groups of people. But you know, all the people that I worship with, they can't save me on the day of judgment. They're not going to stand before God on my behalf. I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to have to give an account for what I've done. And maybe, as a young person here, maybe you have great parents. But you know, your parents won't stand before God and speak on your behalf. You'll stand before God. And you'll speak on your own behalf. And that can work both ways. Maybe you have parents who are faithful. Well, it's up to you to choose to be faithful. Maybe you come from a family where your family weren't Christians. But you can still choose to be one. See, that personal choice goes either way. We can choose to follow after the example others set before us for the good or for the worse. But the choice is still ours. In Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel said, "Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked upon himself." Who's going to have to give an answer for me on the day of judgment? Well, I am. Who's going to give an answer for you? You are. And the answer we give is going to be based on the choices that each of us make in this life. As Joshua pointed out there, the soul who sins shall die. The soul who chooses to sin and turn from the Lord is going to bear the burden of that choice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul talks about the personal nature of judgment when he says, "Therefore we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Notice the word "all." That's all of us. We're all going to be there. But notice the personal nature of the judgment itself. He says that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Serving the Lord is not only a choice, it's a personal choice. The question tonight is, what is your choice? But as we go back to what Joshua said and the challenge that he gave to the Israelites, and we consider that challenge today, he also said that it's an exclusive choice that we have to make. Look again at verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth." And he could have just stopped there and just said serve Him, but he goes on to emphasize the exclusive nature of that choice when he said, "And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." He didn't just say serve the Lord, but he says if you're going to serve the Lord, you have to put away all the other gods. You only have one God in your life. You can't try to have a balance. Hold on to a little bit of God here and a little bit of the gods where you've been or where you are. You have to make a choice. Choose one, put away the others. In 1 Kings, we see a similar plea by Elijah to the people. When he said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him." There wasn't going to be just a little bit of following God and a little bit of following Baal. You have to choose which one is God. Which one are you going to follow? Now, if Elijah was to speak to us today and offer this challenge and say, "If the Lord is God, follow Him. If Baal, follow Him." He may not use the example of Baal for us. Baal's probably not a challenge for most of the people in this room. But there are other gods that may challenge us. He may tell us, "You have to make a choice between God and materialism. You're going to choose God or you're going to choose pleasure? Are you going to choose God or your money? What's your choice going to be?" That doesn't mean we can't have money, we can't enjoy pleasurable things. But only one can be number one in our lives. We can't have a divided allegiance. And Jesus makes this point in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 when he said, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money, wealth, as other versions say. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4, Paul describes some who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Notice he didn't say they were lovers of pleasure and lovers of God. Because we can't truly love two. That's the point Jesus is making. It's an exclusive choice if we're going to choose to serve the Lord. When we consider what Joshua said in verse 15, he talks about all the other gods that they could choose. He talked about the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But he said they had to choose one. What God are we going to choose to serve? We choose the gods of this world, or we choose the God who created the world? Can't have both as number one in our lives. Who are we going to choose? Joshua says that's an exclusive choice that we have to make. But he also said that choosing to serve the Lord is an urgent choice. Notice when he said they needed to make this choice. He said, "Choose for yourselves this day." Notice he didn't say, "Well, here are your options. Go home, think about it for a few days, a few weeks, and then come back and just tell me what your choice is." He said, "You need to choose this day, today." That's how urgent it is that we make the right choice in choosing to serve the Lord. And probably one of the books in the Bible that make the urgency of this choice the clearest is when we come to the New Testament. We look in the book of Acts, and we see the examples of conversion. And notice the urgency involved in those. We can begin in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. It said, "Those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Now we know their situation is a little bit different than ours today. I don't know how long it takes to baptize 3,000 people in the baptistry here behind me. It'd probably take a while. Most likely they just went down to the river. But even that way, it would take a while to baptize 3,000 people. Why didn't they just get everybody who said they wanted to be saved together and say, "Okay, we've got a lot of people here. Let's see, A through D, y'all come back tomorrow, we'll baptize you. And then E through M, y'all come back the next day, we'll just spread this out." Now, they didn't do that. They took the time that day to baptize all 3,000. Because their choice to serve the Lord was that urgent. And their dedication, their obedience to the Lord was that urgent that it was carried out. But not only there, if you come to chapter 16, not only is the day emphasized, but even the hour when it comes to the example of the jailer. It says they took him the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Immediately, the same hour of the night. Remember what that hour was? The context tells us the hour was midnight. They'd already had a rather traumatic evening. I mean, first of all, the jailer's just gone from about the point to kill himself to now hearing the gospel and rejoicing in what he's learned. Why didn't they just say, you know, Paul could have told me, "We've had a really exciting night here. There's no need in us going down and filling with all the baptism stuff. Let's just get a good night's rest, and in the morning we'll take care of it." Now, even though the hour was already midnight, even though it had already been a whole lot going on, obeying the Lord and choosing to serve Him was important enough. At the same hour of the night, he was baptized, he and all his family. And that's when they were able to rejoice. There probably wouldn't have been a lot of rejoicing there if they had to go to sleep and wait till the next morning. At least there shouldn't have been. How could you get a good night's sleep knowing that you've learned what the Lord wants you to do, but you haven't done it? Yet a lot of people do that. They learn what they need to do to become a Christian, but they put it off. And fortunately, oftentimes their conscience catches up with them and they can't sleep. My guess is here, you got a room full of people. Be willing to get a call at any time of the day, any time of the night, if you realize your need to obey the gospel. Why? because they realize the urgency in choosing to serve the Lord and putting Him first in your life. That's what Joshua realized. That's what we see the example in here in the book of Acts. And even the example of Saul before becoming the Apostle Paul. We look there in Acts chapter 9 and we see that he'd gone 3 days without eating and drinking. And Ananias comes to him. And what's the first thing that they do? The first thing he did, he was baptized. Before he even took the time to eat or drink. I bet he was hungry. I bet he was thirsty. But he took care of his soul's needs before he did his body's needs. Because he saw the urgency of the need in serving the Lord. In Luke chapter 10, we find an occasion where Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha. And if you look with me in this occasion, beginning in verse 41, this is after we see that he's come in, that Martha welcomes him in, Mary sits at his feet, and then Martha goes back to tending to the things of the house, serving him and other things. And we see there in verse 40 where she asked the Lord, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now, women, Jesus isn't saying don't worry about the housework. Not saying that things don't need to be done around the house. But what he's trying to teach us here is there's a time for urgency when some things are more important than others. And when it comes to considering the situation, the condition of our soul, there's nothing more important. There's nothing more urgent than making sure that we're in a right relationship with God. Chores can wait. Everything else can wait. If it's a matter of us being right or wrong in the sight of God, that's how urgent serving God is. And sometimes people think, well, you know, I've got plenty of time to serve the Lord. Maybe especially when we're young, we think we've got our whole lives ahead of us. We're going to sow our wild oats, just enjoy life for a while before we settle down and try to serve the Lord. Well, that may be worth a try if you want to put your soul in jeopardy. See, we don't know how long we have. This moment now may be the only moment we ever have. James tells us in James chapter 4, there in verse 14, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know if we'll wait to see tomorrow. This meeting may not be finished because the world may come to an end before then. Or your world may come to an end before you see tomorrow. A certain man in Luke chapter 12, who was already rich, and the Lord blessed him even further. And he thought he'd just store up all his goods for many years and basically just kick back, eat, drink, and be merry. So he thought in terms of many years, and that's what he says if you look in Luke 12 and verse 19. Thought he had many years ahead, but you know what? The Lord had something different in store. The very next verse, verse 20, the Lord told him, "Fool, this night your soul be required of you." We don't know how long our lives are going to last. And that's why we ought to realize the urgency of choosing to serve the Lord now while we can. Let's say we do make that choice. Probably the majority of the people here tonight, accountable age, you've made that choice to serve the Lord. There's still another lesson that we can learn when we look at the account of Joshua and his challenge to the Israelites. And that is that choosing... Hit the wrong button again. Choosing to serve the Lord is also a daily choice. In verse 15, he said, "Choose for yourselves this day." This day. Don't you think some of the people he was speaking to may have chosen the day before or days past to serve the Lord? Probably many of them had. We know they weren't all faithful, but at this point, in the book of Joshua, the Israelites seem to be fairly dedicated to the Lord. But what he's telling them, it really doesn't matter what you've done yesterday or the day before that or last week or last year. You need to decide, what are you going to do today? This day, are you going to choose to serve the Lord? Going back to Ezekiel again, Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel here says, "Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live?" Notice a man's been living in a wicked way, but he can turn. Today he can make up his mind he's not going to be wicked. He goes on to say, "But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abomination that the wicked man does, shall he live?" Well, what about the righteousness he did yesterday? Doesn't that count for something? Not if he decides this day he's not going to be righteous. All that's behind him. The Lord doesn't take our days and say, "Okay, how many days have you been faithful and how many days have you been wicked?" And we just hope we have the right balance there that we can get in. We have more good days than bad. Well, the question is, what are we doing now? Today? That's why I continue saying, "All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them he shall die." And for those of us who are Christians tonight, we ought to realize this challenge. It's not just a matter of us deciding one day that we need to be obedient to the Lord, we need to be baptized. That's just the beginning. That's when we start the race. The Hebrew writer talks about that we need to run with endurance the race that is set before us. We've just entered the race when we become a Christian. We have to run the race every day. Every day when we get up, we have to make a choice. Are we going to serve the Lord today? Or are we going to let Satan and his evil influences overcome us? This day, you need to choose to serve the Lord. That was Joshua's challenge to the Israelites, and that's a challenge to us. Don't you think? And don't you know that every day we get up, Satan's trying to get us to follow him? We have to choose to serve the Lord. When we consider what Joshua said to the Israelites, we realize choosing to serve the Lord is a choice. Don't let anybody deceive you. The Bible tells us it's your choice. Doesn't matter what your parents have done, what anybody else does, you have a choice. And it is personal in nature. Nobody else can make the choice for you. It's also an exclusive choice. You can't serve God and yourself. Jesus says you have to deny yourself if you're going to follow him. It's exclusive. And it's an urgent choice. That's why every time we meet, most places, I assume you do here, you offer an invitation. Not to even have to wait for an invitation. I've never seen it happen before. But if you walk into this building before we even start our worship services and you realize the need to obey the gospel, don't wait for the invitation. Let us know now. What better way to start the worship than by you showing your realization that serving the Lord is an urgent matter? It is. And once you make that choice, realize that it's a daily choice. Each and every day of your life, you have to make that choice to serve the Lord that day. Satan is always going to be trying to turn us away from God. And we have to choose every day to serve him. Just like the Israelites were challenged. Our gods may be different. Our challenges may be different. But the challenges are still there. Go ahead and open your songbooks to the Song of Invitation tonight. I didn't even make a suggestion for the invitation song, but I don't think a better one could have been picked for our lesson this evening. The title of invitation song is "What Shall It Be?" And if you look at the first words, "What will you do with Jesus?" That's your choice tonight. What will you do with him? Others have made their choice, and now it's time for you to make yours. Will you choose to serve the Lord? Maybe in doing so, you need to respond to the gospel and obey the Lord by being baptized. Have your sins washed away and being added to the Lord's body. Maybe as a member of the Lord's body, you haven't daily made the choice you need to, and it's time to repent and make your life right again and decide, today, going forward, I am going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live a better life. We'll pray with you. We'll help you in that decision any way that we can. If we can help you in your choice to serve the Lord this evening, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and as we sing.